The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Manx Radio. We're open line through till 1, so you can call 66 1368. Text or WhatsApp on 166177. Email studio at manxradio.com, whatever's on your mind. The ideas are yours, the floor is yours, whatever you want to talk about, by all means do get in touch. And a quick reminder, roads close tonight, 6 o'clock until no later than 9 o'clock for MGP qualifying. I just wonder what you think of this situation regarding the Manxman, our ship, the Manxman. A number of steam packet sailings have been cancelled today after a technical fault with the Manxman. The 8:45 this morning didn't go. Consequently, the 2:15 return from Heysham won't be going. It was a technical incident on board the Manxman. That situation, it's not the first, is it, to be quite honest? And also the other problem with the Manana, with the Fastcraft, were those generators of hers. Thank the Lord we've still got Ben McCree. Otherwise, presumably, they're getting the Ben McCree ready to be shifting some freight around, because you won't get much freight on Manana. So we wish them well. I'm sure they're working very hard, or as they say nowadays, working tirelessly. Everybody works tirelessly, don't they? And we'll see what happens. At least it's not in the middle of TT, although it is important because MGP and Classic TT bring lots and lots of people. But we'll see. This situation regarding Marine Drive. Now, it's close to us because obviously it's just around the corner from us at Manx Radio. And this problem of fly tipping is just coming back all the time. Discarded items can often be seen on the cliffside, and then the clever so-and-sos decide to lob things over the cliff. More often than not, they don't go into the sea. They just sit there looking at, and the only people who are paying any attention on that side, of course, are the gulls. In recent days, we've seen all sorts of stuff. A fridge, construction refuse, and bin bags. Bill Dale from Beach Buddies is vociferous about fly tipping right around the Isle of Man.
We highlighted this a very long time ago, and it came home to a few people, and they thought maybe if there's people up there watching, we might get caught. But the big problem is, and to this day, and in 20 years, I can't remember anybody ever being made accountable. Who's ever been fined for fly tipping? I can't remember a case. I mean, maybe you guys can, but the problem is no accountability. Therefore, people just carry on dumping stuff.
Where else have you spotted this being an issue around the island?
It's mostly quieter places. Eerie Cushlin is a place that we found rubbish once some time ago. You'll find it occasionally in a plantation, somewhere quiet where people can go maybe even in the evening. We found a whole pile of stuff dumped at Langness one time down near the old Castletown Golf Links. But it's generally pretty much anywhere and everywhere, but not in the places where there's going to be people around. It's in the quieter places, you know, sort of up in the hills and in the glens.
Like you were saying there, you can't remember anyone ever being prosecuted or fined for this. So how do you stop it, and how do you recover it when it's on a steep cliffside like it is at Marine Drive? Is it just inevitable that these items end up either getting absorbed into the undergrowth or falling into the sea?
Well, there's some stuff on Marine Drive that was pointed out to us, gosh, it would have been nearly 20 years ago when we started, and it's still there now. I mean, this is televisions and a fridge and a freezer and some household stuff like that. The sort of thing that you have to pay for if you get rid of it at the amenity site. And that will have just disintegrated. I mean, not completely, but it will have broken down in many ways. But again, it's just, it is here, there and everywhere.
What do we do? It's simple. I mean, this falls under antisocial behaviour. But then again, so does not cleaning up after your dog, throwing fast food litter out onto the pavement, riding a bicycle in a pedestrianised area. This is all uncivil behaviour, isn't it? And quite what you do to stop this. I mean, if presumably, I mean, Bill Dale poses that question. When was the last time you heard of anybody being nicked for fly tipping? And it's relatively easy to chase it. Certainly, it's something they do in other countries. If there's construction refuse, well, you just go through it and find out what there is. If there are taps, if there's plumbing material, you can find out if there's wallpaper. If it's a fridge, there'll be a serial number on it. It can be done. We can check where these items come from. And heaven knows if it's household refuse, well, you never know, there may be a letter inside there. Consequently, there'll be an address. If we let this happen, and maybe it's just that the people who are doing this don't quite understand the Isle of Man. Maybe they've come recently or they just don't pay any attention. But most people on the Isle of Man simply don't do this. We don't get our rubbish and throw it anywhere because we can't be bothered to either pay to get rid of white goods. And that's another question. You know, the government is using that as a source of income. So if white goods like fridges, tumble dryers, washing machines, microwaves cost money to get rid of them. And if you've got two or three that you're getting rid of, it costs quite a lot of money. Ditto with televisions. Some people think that's unwarranted and take matters into their own hands. What do you think we should do? I mean, this is with Marine Drive, Braddon Commissioners. Marine Drive comes under Braddon Commissioners. It's DOI. It's also the police. So what would you do to stop fly tipping? And certainly if there's some tipping near where you are, what do you do about it? Have you ever spotted anybody fly tipping? Have you ever ventured to mention it to them? The government needs to allow people to take anything to the amenity site, says D. People can't afford £50 to dispose of a fridge. Serial numbers don't work. It may be second hand. Ah, yes, but maybe the person whose it was knows where it went. You can't now sell things like that. Well, certainly no through any formal entity. And certainly this whole discussion about whether the government should be cashing in on getting rid of fridges and freezers. I mentioned a wee while ago, around Europe, when you purchase white goods, the manufacturers have got a system whereby you pay, in Europe, you pay a disposal fee when you buy something. And consequently, when you want to get rid of it, you take it to the refuse site or the reusable site. They look up the serial number, punch it into a database, and there you go. You just give it back because you've paid already for that to happen. I'm hazarding a guess we do that. I'm hazarding a guess that when we buy white goods, and we buy lots of them on the Isle of Man, somebody somewhere is paying for a recycling fee. And as it stands at the moment, we then pay on top to the government for do this. Wilf's on now. Hi, Wilf.
Hi. It's just a very short one. I was coming down the quay yesterday, and there was a father and three little kids on bicycles, all following the father. They were good bikes. They were appropriately. They all had their helmets on, but they were coming down the pavement, and people having to get out of the way. Now, that's the whole family, all led by the father. Where's the brains? Now, other things I've noticed all around the town is crossings, proper crossings, flashing crossings, only of, 20 feet away to walk, and they stand on corners waiting in the rain for vehicles to make a gap so they can go across. And all they have to do is walk down 20 feet, get on the cross, and everybody has to stop. I can't. These people are supposed to be teaching their children what to do. It just, well, it defies me.
Well, I mean, Wilf, did you, I mean, you're not backward in coming forward. Did you mention it to the guy on the bike at all?
No, he was going past. I was on foot.
All right.
I was going the other way, on the other side of the road. Also, there's another thing, but I don't know. I don't know how this works. You're not allowed a bicycle on the pavement, but you're allowed an electric wheelchair. Or appears to be. So I can't quite understand this.
Right.
A footpath. The name says footpath. So, you know, I don't know, because they don't go quick enough on the road to get out of the traffic. And as you're spot on when it comes to this fly bit tip business, but it has to be gone through. They have to look at it and go through it.
Yeah.
And there will be a name or a number or something. And they catch them. But who wants to go rooting in somebody else's rubbish? It's as simple as that.
Yeah, right. Point.
So they just ignore it.
Well, the trouble is that, you know, if we keep on ignoring it, it's only going to get worse, because the people who do it will just say, well, nobody's bothered.
Of course, we're going back to the 16th century, you throw it out the window. That's what will happen in the end. Nobody's going to shift it. If nobody shifts it, where's it going to go? It just piles up.
Okay. All right. Good. Thanks for calling, Will. Good to hear from you. Gary dropped me a note just to say, we've got an MHK saying they can't see anything being achieved in the next 12 months before the election. Meantime, said Gary, we've got an arm's length Manx Care asking for more and more money while doing less and less, receiving a shocking audit review highlighting governance issues. We should have been core to the organisation from its inception. This was Gary's point of view. We also have the arm's length steam packet company crashing boats into piers. Well, they didn't do that on purpose. I mean, anything that happens will be... Anyway, you know the point I'm making. Making the wrong approach to docking, breaking down more frequently and charging crazy fares. And we have the arm's length Manx Development Corporation taking millions from the government for what? Perhaps MHKs could get a grip of the rapidly unravelling government. It's Gary's point of view. Well, there's a year to go. This time next year, Timber will have been dissolved. So there won't be anything there. The bureaucrats will be running the whole place. So I just wonder where you think. Governments explained why they charged to dispose of certain items, so fridges and TVs. However, it was a lame reasoning, says Jane. We have friends in the UK and they're not charged. Businesses aren't charged either. For the betterment of the environment and to save on clearance later, no charge. They pay rates, they pay business rates, and they use their local tip for free. People would not willingly go out to secret places if they could just go to the tip without fear or a charge that they simply can't afford. That's 123. Thank you, Jane. Good to hear from you. I remember on a previous broadcast that traceable rubbish had been found. Why haven't prosecutions been made, says Steve M. Well, again, let's just refer to Bill Dale, that the guy who dreamt up Beach Buddies walking his dog on the beach and saw rubbish on the beach and thought, I'll pick that up. And now, I think, is it 15,000 volunteers over the years have come through and gone through, and still volunteers do it every Sunday. Bill, again, on fly tipping.
The big problem is, and to this day, and in 20 years, I can't remember anybody ever being made accountable. Who's ever been fined for fly tipping? I can't remember a case. I mean, maybe you guys can, but the problem is no accountability. Therefore, people just carry on dumping stuff.
Well, can you solve this? What do we do? If somebody is determined to fly tip, what do we do about it? How do we trace it? What will be the sanction for it? Call, text, email and WhatsApp. I spoke to Braddon Commissioner, says Paul, directly over 5 years ago, and they said they'd caught people fly tipping, but they'd just given them a warning. So why didn't they take the opportunity to make an example? And Paul also said flying drones over the TT course, an ex-UK police officer has been fined £800-ish. Again, why not make an example? With the minimum of the £2,000 fine and possibly the rest of the week in Derby. I mean, surely they knew you don't fly a drone over the TT course. So it's kind of self-evident, really. What do you think about that? I say this every TT or MGP. Are the organisers going to collect the plastic tear-offs from the hedges that the riders throw? Perhaps any marshals can tell us that. Do they collect the tear-offs? Well, I think we got Dewan on now. Hi, Dewan.
How are you, Andy?
Very well, thanks.
Well, we were running a book yesterday on where Andy had gone to. A 6-1 on that I'd finished you off. There was a 3-1 that you'd seen Julian on the line. And there was a 100-1 outside he'd been abducted and cloned. But the favourite was a dodgy curry.
Ah, there we are. Well, we just wanted to see whether the boss could still cut the mustard.
And what do you reckon? Did he cut the mustard?
Anyway, go on, Dewan.
Saving your job. I was listening to the Junior Timbal last night. Some interesting questions on there on the programme. I think it was the 5:30 agenda programme. Some interesting questions come out there. The younger people are starting to get more aligned with asking questions about the future of energy and the costs and everything, which was refreshing to hear that, you know, that the junior people are taking a little bit more interest in that. A couple of points there was John Wannenberg made a point that there's been a reduction of 20% in the use of electric with new LED lighting and such like. So that was an interesting point that he made. You talked about the fly tipping, and again, I think we've covered this before on here. The price here of products, especially with the big multiples that sell here, are selling exactly the same price as the UK. Now, if that price is built in, which I've been led to believe that the price for disposal is built into to the price of the retail price, then what are we getting charged for? When, if I remember rightly, a new company took over the disposal here, and since then the price has gone astronomic. So is this just profiteering? Because by the looks of it, if these multiple companies are already priced this in, then is this pure profiteering from this company, which did try to stop this company sending stuff away? And again, this is all linked to carbon credits and all this here nonsense that's coming out with all the carbon credits, which they want to be our new god. So that would be the question here, Andy, because government should be looking at this. As you say, it's detrimental to the island and, you know, what's happening around the island with fridge freezers, sofas and everything else that's just getting thrown about. And there's no need for people to be dumping sofas in fields, no need whatsoever, because there's no charge for that. But with electrical appliances, I mean, right the way down to microwaves now, they're charging £10, etc. for small items like that. Is there a need for that pricing?
Well, let's start at the end point, if you like. It ruins the countryside. It only needs somebody to lob a sofa down a country lane, and it looks shabby, it looks unkempt, it looks uncared for, and it looks like we don't bother. And surely this is such a simple problem to solve. And if it really is because the government want the money from recycling, then, you know, we should know. I mean, is it true that Currys, if you buy something from Currys, they'll take it back and ship it away free of charge?
Not free of charge. I think with small TVs,
right?
And I know that because I brought them there myself. Small TVs, they will take.
Yeah.
Bigger appliances, if you're buying an appliance room, they'll take it at a very reduced price. I think if you go onto Currys website, it's actually there, the UK website. They will take the fridge freezer off you for £25 if you're buying one of them, which is a big difference from what they're charging at the local authority sites.
Yeah.
That's a big difference. So if Currys are doing this, and I know they've got this carbon credits thing going, if they're doing this, why are these companies charging £80?
Well, to make money, obviously.
Exactly. So then our government are implicated in this case because they're letting them do it.
Yeah.
So they can't have it both ways. They can't they can't say we're cluttering up the people are dumping stuff. If a family's got a fridge freezer and it's nearly £100, that's a lot of food for a family on the breadline or need to feed, you know, young kids. To £100 just for someone to profiteer, then the government need to look at this and reevaluate it and have a look at this company and see what profiteering is involved.
Well, it's called, they call it greenwashing, don't they? It's kind of dressing business up with green credentials.
And this is the whole ridiculous thing about this whole net zero lunacy that's going on. And we'll have Bonsai on in a minute, you know, playing his game on this. But it's lunacy. I mean, there is common sense about this whole thing. You know, I mean, we have Quirky on going on about this solar panels, bless him. But no one's taken into the cost of putting this on against the cost of how much your electricity would be to start with. So this whole thing, this whole greenwashing thing just goes on and on and on. And I revert back to my normal one is common sense. Where did that ever go? Really? another thing is today as well, I think Laurie Hooper was on, there was a comment made, this was on that the Junior Timbal, I think it was, about the 20 mile an hour. And it's, if we save 1.4 lives, is it worth it? And I'm thinking, this is the same kind of rhetoric that we had during Black Lives Matters. It's one of them statements that you can't say no to. But in reality, it's quite a silly statement. You know, if we save 1.4 lives, we'll wreck industry and we'll wreck everything to save 1.4 lives. And the data doesn't show that it was going to be through a 20 mile an hour limit anyway. So this rhetoric that politicians and government people bring out sometimes is, you know, a little bit silly. But hey, I'll leave my point at that one today, Andy. I'm going to go out and enjoy this climate change.
Good to hear from you. Thanks, Juan. Thanks for calling today. A message and also from Alan, who just said, Juan mentioned that Mr. Wannenberg had said we're using 20% less electricity than we did before, because obviously everybody's now using LED lights, apart from those... Do you remember the first ones that came out that took about 30 seconds to get up to speed? Well, we're now on the LED lights. It uses a lot less electricity. And lots of our appliances now are energy efficient, very energy efficient. So if you're using less electricity, obviously the MUA is getting less money. And we haven't had a figure from the MUA as to how much electricity they're buying. It's obvious. There are many, many people who are selling electricity back to the MUA at a much reduced rate, 9p or whatever it is, you know, paying for it at 29p, but selling it back at 9p. You just wonder how much electricity the MUA is buying at 9p that they're subsequently selling at 29p. I mean, I'm sure it'll come out in their report and their accounts, but it's worth noting. Thank you, Alan, for pointing that out. Basically, says Kelly, it's the government's fault for charging to tip and costing 100 times the price to. Regarding Marine Drive, the people who are just leaving stuff there, I think we should just put, or somebody should put, whether it's Braddon commissioners, police, government, anybody, just put some small battery nature cameras up there that are motion activated. The wildlife people use them to watch wildlife. Just put some up there and see what happens, and then charge somebody for doing it. If somebody's breaking the law by fly tipping on one of our most picturesque sites, charge them for doing it. They're breaking the law. Again, the government needs to not to charge. Anybody should be taking stuff free to the tip, says this correspondent. The Manxman should have been sent back as unfit for purpose within 6 months of receipt, says M. I think our warranty has expired on it. It's basically because it's an electric motor, isn't it? It's a marine EV. Generators on board charge the electricity that goes into a battery that then propels the ship. And what do? Fly tipping and speeding are both the same problem. People do it when nobody's looking. And the only way to enforce it is more surveillance. If nobody gets punished for it, people will just continue to do it. Cameras, says Frank on 378, are the way to go.
Hi, Liz. I see you've had your garage converted. We're desperate for more room.
Yes. Come through and have a look. John called Manx Property Conversions. We now have an extra bedroom, but it could be another reception room, kids' playroom or office. They also did our conservatory roof last year. We were so impressed, we got them back to convert the garage.
Wow, I need that. What's their number again?
Call MPC on 450500. That's 450500. Or find them on Facebook at Manx Property Conversions.
Where has a five-star selection of hand-picked quality cars?
Manx Car Store!
Where are you guaranteed a five-star friendly professional service?
Manx Car Store!
And where has five-star prices on cars covering all budgets? That's right, Manx Car Store on Kirby Farm Industrial Estate, open 7 days a week. To see their range of quality cars and over 250 five-star reviews, just visit manxcarstore.com or find them on Facebook. Manx Car Store, a place you can really trust.
Check out the Groudle Glen Railway summer timetable for some great days out. Visit the Clifftop Tea Rooms and Sales Emporium, book a special steam tea and join our free family train spotting challenge. Hop on the line that goes uphill to the sea, the Groudle Glen Railway. For time, see ggr.org.uk or visit on Facebook.
The previous message was brought to you by QVH, the island's premier serviced offices and co-working space in the heart of Douglas. Call 639 940 for more information or visit qvhpremierofficespace.com.
Are you a small charity here on the Isle of Man? Are you looking for volunteers, hoping to raise awareness and chasing those crucial pounds and pennies to support your work? Well, Manx Radio can help. You could be our next 1-3 Charity of the Week. With daily on-air coverage, podcast and social media promotion, we can help support you and those you help. Just email the numbers 123@manxradio.com and listen out for the feature each weekday between 1 and 3pm. The Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
And Howard's on. Hi, Howard.
Hello, Andy. Just listened to various people that were on about the fly tip and etc. Now, I'm not going to categorise everybody the same, but we have and had many years ago, we're Bob Greenfield Road, that's going from the grandstand off through to the college. The council put a skip down there, an empty skip, purposely for people with rubbish, exactly what we're talking about. But the people that were cleaning out houses and charging, say they come to my house, your house, we charge you X number of pounds to clear your house out of rubbish. But they were going to the skip, and they put a skip there at 10 o'clock in the morning. By 12 o'clock, it was full because they were taking the money from clearing the houses out, pocketing that, because they would have been charged as a commercial tipping. At the tip at the time, not there was no amenity sites, but that still applies at the amenity sites. As far as I know, commercial rubbish for people clearing houses out, etc., is chargeable. I'll probably be corrected on that, but I think it still stands. So what we'll find, a lot of the fly tipping, and this is what's happening across, are people who are clearing houses out and they don't want to pay the commercial price at the tips.
Right.
So it's on the back or in the back of a van, and at night time out they go into the country, hee ho, and in the UK they're tipping tens of tons of stuff in driveways and places like this, fly tipping, and it's costing the council millions of pounds to shift it. So out at the amenity site out there, you can go out and you get rid of most stuff. But as they were saying now, that price has virtually doubled, if not quadrupled in some cases, to get rid of it. So these people here for the commercial work, yeah, is going to be, well, it's just going to get dumped over the cliff. I can remember that stuff that Bill was talking about at the old Pigeon Stream, just dumped over the top. And obviously still lying there amongst the bracken, etc. But you'll find a lot of this is people who are house clearing. But they say you can be fined up to £1,000. And I've said this before on the old programme, there should be a starting minimum. You will be charged a £100 fine plus costs, or if you do it again or you dump a lot of rubbish, then it can be £1,000.
Yeah.
But as you said on yourself before, you've not heard of anybody being fined for it, prosecuted otherwise. That's the same for dog muck.
Yeah.
They say that up to £1,000. Well, if you don't prosecute anybody, that is, those words on the boards are useless. You know, it's a threat there, but if you don't carry out that threat, then it's a waste of paint.
And that is also, it's dispiriting for the vast majority of law-abiding people, because if they see somebody just wander up, and whether it's whatever the antisocial behaviour is, riding a bike on a pavement, not picking up dog muck or littering, if they see people just blithely going away, mm-hmm. we know the rest of us just look at one another and raise our eyebrows and shrug our shoulders, because yeah. there's no prohibitive sanction that's put in place, Howard.
Well, this is the length of the amenity site here at the bottom of the Richmond. I think, well, I know the Douglas Corporation is there. I think Braddon's there. I don't know. It's a conglomeration of various commissioners, etc., that run it and organise it. So who is receiving the money out of that? Because it's not one individual set of commissioners, so they must be all taking a fair crack in it, or does it go to the government? And if it's going to the government, they're not going to come down heavy on, well, they keep saying Currys, but there are other, Euronics, Colburns, Waltons, they're all white goods as well, so they must be enjoying the extra price that's put on the white goods yeah. televisions. They're enjoying that, but not carrying out getting rid of the stuff.
Yeah.
So we had a new white goods here, I think it was about 18 months ago, in the house, and it come from up the road, Currys. And the lads were here and they said, do you want us to take it away? It'll be X number of pounds. Well, I have a van, and I can get rid of it, but it would have cost me just as much to take it to the tip. So I said, crack on, take it, and they took it straight away. They put the new one in, took the old one out, and gone. And it was all over in half an hour. But if you've got to take this to the tip, you've got to make a concerted effort, or find somebody that has a vehicle big enough to take it. So these firms that's on the island are enjoying the extra money that has been imposed on the white goods without offering any service. So this is what the government should be looking into.
The thing is, it seems such a simple thing to solve, Howard.
But they won't, because they're sitting in their desks, and this is what's been happening the last 5 and 10 years. They're sitting at the desks and, that's somebody else's job. But the white goods, the electric goods, etc., they've all got regulations. And they keep saying that we abide by this, abide by that, and biodiversity. But it means absolutely nothing that they've got to do something about it.
Yeah.
That's the crazy part about it. They'll quote these things, they'll tell you how to do it, but they won't do anything themselves. And they're the ones that are disposing of the rubbish. And it should be shipped off the island. And they're buying them across. Where our daughter lives, they've still got rag and bone men going round and collecting the scrap iron. And they'll take anything away. So, I remember the mayor at one time, Wilf will tell you that, bought... The government want to get busy on these companies that's importing these goods with the extra £25-30 on top. If you buy something online, it's from the UK, so they should be under the same rules as the UK to take it back again.
Okay.
Free.
All right. Appreciate that, Howard. Thanks for calling.
Okay. Thanks, then. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. It's 574 Textor. I was outside Boots yesterday, and a bike was weaving through pedestrians, nearly mowed down two police officers. They just ignored it, says 574. It's astonishing that people don't have compassion for electric wheelchair users on pavements. It's not safe on the road. DOI is spending money to lower curbs to enable users to cross the roads, says Southern Andy. All these arm's length entities that government have, together with all the government departments, should be fully audited. There are too many managers. This is Andrea on 538. Andrea said, too many managers who don't know what they're doing, given the title of manager to make them feel important. Also, why can't government departments and local authorities work together for the benefit of the Isle of Man? All they seem to do is to fight each other. That's Andrea's opinion. Few people can afford, this Russell says, Andy, few people can afford £50 to recycle a broken fridge. It's just another case of the government greed driving bad behaviour. So if rates went up and everything was then free, do you think that's okay? Would that work? And also, this is a message in from Claire. And Claire said, I think if people are in business to clear houses, they should be paying the commercial rate for waste. And if they're trying just to nip through and do it privately, surely that's wrong. They're charging their customers, so why shouldn't they be charged the commercial rate? I work for Manx Care, says Dave. I think it's wrong they get slated for overspending. How can you budget for the next 2 weeks, for example? Do we know how many MGP riders are going to crash and need urgent medical care? I think the classic tea is a waste of money. For the rich TT stars to take money off the taxpayers. Thank you, Dave. Junior Timbald, says Jane. Those who spoke out against the CareVi project at Earistane were family members and friends of the campaign group, says Jane. What difference does that make, Jane? The litter problem. You're not allowed to label people nowadays, but I think, says Phil, the litter problem is mostly young people who don't seem to recognise the concept of putting things into the bin, never mind recycling. I watched a poor guy with a McDonald's jacket picking up litter on the Quarterbridge front car park. It's very bad there, and it's just thrown out of cars because the car drivers and passengers can't be bothered to get out of the car and go to the bins in the car park. I regularly pick up litter on the Douglas Promenade steps after teenagers have been jumping into the sea off them. It's a good exercise for them, but they could do with stretching their legs a bit and go and see them go to the many bins around there. Leaving litter to float off into the sea is bad for the biosphere, not very good for the creatures that live in the sea as well. It would have been interesting to hear Bill Dale's view on the recent Beach Buddies event he held at Bemahague School, where after all the years of experience, even he was overwhelmed by the amount of litter collected around Bemahague School, showing the attitude of the pupils to binning litter. Young people should be taught to bin litter, otherwise they'll grow up not doing it. Thank you, Phil. That's Phil's point of view. Do you remember years and years ago that I think it started in the late 50s, maybe early 60s, Keep Britain Tidy. That logo, the posters were absolutely everywhere. Keep Britain Tidy. It's when the Throwaway Society first started in the 1950s. Is it a generational problem? Is it mainly young people? Or are the elderly just as bad? If you've got any thoughts, text, email, call, WhatsApp.
As our loved ones age, they carry not only the memories of the past, but also the uncertainties of the future. Secure tomorrow today, with Man Benham's guidance on enduring powers of attorney and more.
Suffering with joint pain or severe migraines, whether it's from an injury or ongoing illness, you don't have to suffer in silence. The Crowther Clinic at Hospice Isle of Man in Strang offers expert private pain management tailored to you. And the best part, every penny of profit goes straight to supporting free hospice care for our community. Take control of your pain and feel like yourself again. Visit crowtherclinic.im or call 647 450. Crowther Clinic, private care with purpose.
If you love, and some of this, then book now for the Bootleg Beatles at the Villa Marina on the 27th of August. The Bootleg Beatles have it all. The costumes, the banter, the hairstyles, and of course, the outstanding and iconic music. Call the box office on 600 treble 5 or book online at villagaiety.com. The Bootleg Beatles, 27th of August at the Villa Marina.
The latest edition of Manx Radio's Breath Mindfulness podcast with Karen Hardman is available now.
Release the need to do everything well. You were great today. You did enough.
Brought to you by the Good Health Store on Station Road in Port Erin.
Let's relax further and imagine a long stroll on a sandy, starlit beach.
Peaceful slumber and relaxation.
It's a balmy August night, and you are walking barefoot along the water's edge.
The latest in the Breath Mindfulness series with Karen Hardman, and available now at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
13 minutes before one, Graham in Lonnon says, don't forget the steam packet wanted to sell the Ben McCree. Now, the sea services agreement stated that the Ben McCree would stay as a backup, but the steam packet wanted to sell it. Do you remember? It went up to Scotland, but didn't fit on the link span where it went, so it didn't get sold. Thank the Lord the Ben McCree has been retained for the people of the Isle of Man, says Graham. Since the tip won't take small electronics and electricals, I just put them in a wheelie bin in a bin bag. Never had an issue. Seems daft to me, but hey-ho. I think the tip does take some small electrics. It depends on the size, really. Let's get to... Oh, back to the phones we go now. We're busy today. Bonzo's with us now. Hi, Bonzo.
Hello, yes. Seeing as June was looking into his crystal ball, saying I was going to come on and go on about whatever it was I was going to go on about. Well, there you go. You scored one accuracy anyway. I was very interested to hear Julian yesterday discovering the idea of cost-benefit analysis and stating around the southern swimming pool that if you use measures that I think UK swimming had been talking about in regards to UK swimming pools, that every pound invested in public swimming facilities pays back £6 in increased health, lack of expenditure to the NHS, various social costs, etc., that it saves. Now, this is a problem, of course, with waste. Yes, it costs money to process waste, but it also has a wide variety of other costs, environmental, economic, in the case that someone got to try and then actually try and clear up the fly-tipped waste, then costs of enforcement, if you're trying to stop fly-tipping by enforcement and such. So it generates all those additional costs. So rather than focus so much on the cost, which is a very big problem with Manx politics, everyone complains about the cost of something, but nobody seems to be really thinking about the outcomes of what that cost produces. And when it comes to waste processing like this, what you need is that idea of assessing the costs in the round and not saying, oh, the consumer must pay for all the waste. Because the government has usually had a bite of the cherry from that thing which is now going to be disposed as waste when it was sold, from VAT, duties, etc. So what needs to happen is that there needs to be cooperation. And again, I think one person who messaged in was saying this about a lack of cooperation between local authorities and central government. Well, yeah, I mean, they have that across as well, but on steroids. But it's a similar thing in that local authorities are often given the responsibilities for wastes and then not really allowed to have the funds to do anything about them with. So there needs to be cooperation between local and national government on actually making the disposal of this waste free at the point of use. So when you go to the tip, you're not being charged for it.
Yeah.
But everyone is, by way of taxation, etc., sharing in the cost, and in doing so isn't then coming up with additional costs to local authorities or national government about trying to do something about the stuff that then is flighted.
So, I mean, that makes complete common sense. So why is something so simple seemingly made so complicated and we land with fly-tipping?
Because local authorities hate central government and central government hates local authorities.
Well, that's not our fault, Bonzo, is it?
No, it isn't. Well, or you could say that it is, because that's one of the things, again, we have an election next year. So, again, something that candidates for keys should be questioned about vigorously, about how we're going to get this necessary cooperation, which we have for a wide variety of issues, between local and national government. And I'm sure Quirky is listening, going, yeah, and jumping up and down, and saying, yes, Bonzo for president. But that just has that basic, as you might say, common sense idea of not looking so much at the cost of something, but what the costs are of not doing something.
Right. Yeah. Okay. All right. Thanks for calling today, Bonzo.
Okay then. Cheers. Bye.
Good to hear from you. My brother was fined in the not my brother, but 004's brother. My brother was fined in the 1980s for fly tipping bags of soil from my grandmother's garden, which he put on the wasteland at Pull Rose, that was littered with yew stone. The soil he was spotted by a passing policeman and got fined for that. Is that true, 004? John's with us now. Hi, John.
Hello, Andy. How are you?
Very well, thanks.
Good. I thought I'd just throw some light on the actual shipping of the waste. As you know, I've been involved in shipping for some 40 years now, and one of the things that we do is ship off the scrap fridges and the small WEE, as it's called, waste electrical equipment, etc. When we ship it away, we have to comply with certain regulations under what's known as the Basel Convention, which is pushed upon us by the UK government and the Environment Agency, etc. Just our element of shipping, we have to have a financial guarantee in place, which means if we were to go bust and have a load stuck in, say, Liverpool, there's money there which is bonded with the Alemán government to pay for the continuation of the transport and for the actual processing at the recycling plant. And off the top of my head, I don't know the exact figure, but it's just under £5,000. And that's just our operation, which means from leaving our Snugborough depot to arriving at the recycling plant in Stourbridge, which is where the fridges get recycled, that's just covering our bit. That's not covering anything that happens at the amenity sites with their staff and their overheads. So that's just for fridges. And I'll give you another example which will make you gasp. Electric drills with lithium-ion batteries, all them sort of little batteries that come out of appliances, at the plant, that costs £5.95 per kilo, £5,950 per tonne. And that's only at the plant. We've still got to get it there. To get it there, we have to use special fireproof containers, which cost £25 a day to hire. So we have to go to the plant, which is in Grimsby, collect the containers, bring them here, load them up, and then ship them back again and try and turn them around very quickly because of the higher charges. So the guarantee for those that will go in place is somewhere in the region of £35,000 just for a load of scrap batteries going off the island.
Was it always this complicated, like, John?
It's very complicated, Andy. It takes weeks and weeks to get permission. It's called TFS, Transfrontier Shipment. So what happens is I submit my application to DEFA at St John's. They check it over and they give it their blessing. It then goes off to the Environment Agency in Warrington, who will come back at me with dozens of questions. They'll ask me obscure stuff like, what happens to the POPs plastics? what the hell are POPs plastics? So you Google it, persistent organic pollutants. So you have to find out from the recycler what they do with that, and perhaps they'll take it away somewhere and they'll incinerate it at high temperatures, and that meets the requirements of the Environment Agency. It is a real nightmare with paperwork that does take weeks to sort. I'm in the process of doing the small Wii, which is the things like microwaves and that. I've got that ready to go, but I'm waiting on some more information from the recycler. The CRTs and FPDs, cathode ray tubes and flat panel displays, I'm in the same situation with that. And the lithium-ion batteries, I'm ready to go with that, but I just have to get approval from the steam packet to make sure it's acceptable to ship them in that manner.
And I thought you just drove a lorry, John.
I wish.
Thanks for calling today. That's John Quay, of course,
okay,
the big boss of Banks Independent Carriers. Well, now you've learnt something. Douglas Council charged £20 to dump a washing machine, but any other amenity site charges £40. What's happening, says Kelly. Is there a bandwagon going on here? Well, I don't know whether we've solved the problem with fly tipping, but we've had opinion, and we've probably had yours. Back tomorrow with another open line. In the meantime, the answer phone's on 682-631 or email maninline@manxradio.com. Thanks to Chris on the phones today. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. WINT.